From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letton. America is now in the midst of an energy boom, but at what cost?
Oklahoma City 911, what's your emergency?
I thought I felt an earthquake.
Yes, sir, we had one.
Did we have an earthquake?
Yes, we did, sir.
Yes, ma'am, we had an earthquake. Are you okay?
Oklahoma now has more seismic activity than California, in part because of oil drilling.
Is there going to be more?
We have no idea.
That's coming up on Reveal.
Reveal is supported by Casper, who delivers an obsessively engineered mattress at a very fair price. In fact, Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that on to the customer. They offer a risk-free trial and return policy. Try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. It's an American-made mattress, starting from $500 for a twin and $950 for a king. Reveal listeners get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/reveal and using promo code REVEAL at checkout.
All this month, we've been looking at what it really costs as a country to keep our lights on. From the deadly hazards of working the Bakken oil fields of North Dakota to explosive oil trains barreling through backyards. We close out this series on America's energy landscape with a story from Oklahoma. The state has long been known for its oil and gas reserves, and it continues to be one of the epicenters of America's energy boom. It's also the epicenter for something else, earthquakes. They've become shockingly common there, and in some places, they happen every day.
I just felt a bomb or something.
It was an earthquake.
It was?
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City 911.
Yes.
Calling about the earthquake, ma'am?
Is that what
That's
happened?
What it was.
No, I was just sitting and looking at the ball game and my butt started moving.
Most of the time, though, it's not that funny. Brick buildings have crumbled, roads have buckled, and people have gotten hurt. So how do you go from almost no earthquakes to being one of the most seismically active places in America? That's what Reveal's Michael Corey wanted to find out.
Hi, Al. Yeah, I've covered earthquake safety in California in the past, but that makes sense. This place is known for earthquakes. And then I found out that Oklahoma actually is now more seismically active than California, kind of like a lot more. And I wanted to know what was going on. So, Al, check this out.
Mm-hmm. So what was that?
This is earthquakes in Oklahoma, and we basically ran Oklahoma's earthquake data through a synthesizer to give you a sense of what's going on there. This is about 2005, 2006, so each plink there is one earthquake.
Okay, so it's kind of speeding up now, right?
Yeah. This is about 2009, and you're hearing that something is definitely changing. And during the same time, oil and gas prices were way up, and Oklahoma was starting a big increase in oil production.
Wow, that is a big one.
Okay, yeah, that was the big earthquake in Prague, Oklahoma in 2011. We'll come back to that one.
Okay. It sounds like pinball. I used to have a pinball machine. Oh, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, this is like today.
Yeah, I'm fine, but Is there going to be more?
We have no idea.
So who does know, and what's being done about it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to find out. So I went to Oklahoma and teamed up with a reporter who's been covering this story in depth, Joe Wirtz.
Joe Wirtz here. I'm a reporter for State Impact Oklahoma, which is a statewide reporting outfit. In the last few years, earthquakes have become a big story in Oklahoma. Sometimes they wake me up in the middle of the night. I get a bunch of alerts and beeps and emails, and I have to get up and check it out, make sure nothing was damaged and make sure no one was hurt.
So we met up in Oklahoma City, and we didn't have to wait long for an earthquake to hit. One night, there was a 3.8 and a 3.9 magnitude earthquake in a town called Guthrie, about 20 miles away. So we headed to the epicenter to check it out. Guthrie's had a lot of earthquakes. This is kind of ground zero, or one of the ground zeros in the state in recent years.
Pulling into downtown Guthrie is kind of like entering the set of Deadwood. It's an old-timey western town. The main street is lined with 100-year-old brick buildings. Those are some of the most vulnerable structures to earthquakes. So Mike and I ducked into a coffee shop down the street. Barista Kira Hancock has been here since dawn.
I come here at 6, so I have to get up at like 5. And so I was getting ready, and it was like really dark in the house. And then like then that's when the huge, I don't know how big it was, but it felt really big. It may have just been because I was the only one awake, but it was really scary.
Our next stop was the Ace Hardware store, where Brian Johnson was helping his customers.
Typically, it's mortar repair, concrete between the bricks when it cracks. I've personally done that myself.
How many, like, how often do you think you feel an earthquake?
Honestly, about every other day.
Wow.
There's typically something, there were two or three yesterday. See, it was cool 5 years ago when we had one, the first one I've ever felt. Now it's just something that's not going to stop. It's all the fracking going on and everything else. They're not going to quit.
He might be right. The quakes are showing no signs of quitting. In fact, they've increased along with Oklahoma's energy exploration. In 2002, the state averaged about 91 active rigs looking for oil and gas. In recent years, that number has doubled.
So some of you are probably wondering, what is the connection between drilling for oil and earthquakes? It's actually not fracking here that's the biggest culprit. It's something called an injection well. If only I had an instructional video with a funky bass line to help explain.
How do Class 2 injection operations work?
Thanks, California Department of Oil and Gas. See, even in traditional drilling, there's a lot of toxic water mixed up with the oil. And after it's separated, all that water's got to go somewhere. But where?
For disposal projects, the salt water is trucked or piped into holding tanks and injected into a nearby well.
Like the one we visited, outside of Guthrie. Several 15-foot-tall tanks sit in the middle of a farm, and they almost look like grain silos. There's about 3,200 similar wells around the state.
So out here, we've got a lot of these disposal wells, and that's sort of what the scientists are looking at, is how injecting, you know, millions of gallons of wastewater into the earth, where does it go?
Yeah. It's a mile down. No one's been down there.
Exactly what's going on down there and how to control it is currently one of the hottest topics for earth scientists, like Mark Peterson with the U.S. Geological Survey. Here he is speaking to the Seismological Society of America.
For the first time in this report, we have identified 17 areas in the central and eastern United States with increased rates of induced seismicity that are thought to be stimulated by fluid injection.
Induced seismicity means man-made earthquakes. Scientists say there could be a lot of reasons why Oklahoma is experiencing so many earthquakes now. It could be the increased activity we mentioned earlier, or the cumulative effect of decades of injecting wastewater into the ground. What we do know is
these earthquakes are occurring at a higher rate than ever before and pose a much greater risk and threat to people living nearby.
Around here, everyone knows the earthquakes are continuing, and scientists say they could get worse. And after years of hedging, Oklahoma officials now publicly agree with scientists on the cause. Just this spring, our governor, Mary Fallon, for the first time acknowledged the role oil and gas production has in the earthquakes. But despite this, and the fact that a dozen peer-reviewed research papers point to a clear link, the oil industry is downplaying the connection.
For every seismologist or geophysicist that comes out and says it's definitively us, we've got buildings full of really smart people who say that's not the case.
Chad Warmington is president of the Oklahoma Oil and Gas Association. We requested interviews with individual oil companies, but they all referred us to Chad. He's their industry spokesperson.
There's a lot of things we don't know about what is causing the increased seismic activity in the state. But what we really want to focus on is what can we do from a scientific standpoint to minimize the risk of that.
The oil industry is going to have to make its case in court. Earthquake victims brought two high-profile lawsuits against disposal well operators after the state's biggest quake, that one right there. It happened in Prague back in 2011, and it changed everything.
Now, just 30 miles to the southwest of Prague, St. Gregory's University received extensive damage. Three towers of Benedictine Hall crumbled to the ground. Glass windows are shattered. The premise is now blocked off, fearing additional towers could fall.
Many Oklahomans, myself included, heard the noise or felt the shaking. Even people in Milwaukee, that's 800 miles away, felt it. Two people were injured, more than a dozen homes were destroyed, and many more were damaged. I visited St. Gregory's, that school from the news story. It's a small Catholic university and monastery that's still reeling from the financial blow of its towers collapsing and crumbling to the ground. They were an icon of the university. But the abbot there, Lawrence Tassison, says it could have been worse.
Yes, thanks be to God, no one was injured either in the collapse of material there or elsewhere on campus. And had anyone been walking along the building when this happened, there could easily have been fatalities.
The earthquake in Prague was a magnitude 5.7. That's the largest recorded in Oklahoma ever. Seismologists say it's possible that parts of the state could see a 6 or an even bigger earthquake. One of those places is Stillwater. That's the home of Oklahoma State University.
Oklahoma State has 25,000 students and a lot of brick buildings. So we decided to go see how prepared the university is for a major earthquake.
My name is Ron Hill. I'm the manager for Oklahoma State University Emergency Management.
Ron's in the Emergency Command Center at OSU.
Well, we like to think that this is a state-of-the-art emergency operations center. We think it's one of the better ones for higher ed.
Ron's responsible for the lives of everyone on campus here. And he also advises a lot of smaller colleges in the area on emergency planning. He's evaluated the buildings on campus for how they'd hold up in a tornado. But when it comes to evaluating buildings for earthquakes...
No, not yet. But I'm sure that will be coming shortly. Again, this is all new to us in Oklahoma.
But how much potential damage are we even talking about here? We took that question to OSU geology professor Todd Hallahan.
If you look at some of the risks from these types of buildings, it's the brick facade coming off. And so when you walk between two buildings with a narrow walkway in between, you realize that's a pretty hazardous spot to be.
Hallahan keeps track of scientific papers on the Oklahoma situation, one of which says that a big one could happen here in Stillwater.
If it were to happen directly under one of the towns here, it would be pretty devastating.
When you say devastating, you mean people are going to die?
If we had that kind of large event in the wrong location, yes, people would die.
Oklahoma's buildings, roads, and bridges weren't built with earthquakes in mind. Emergency authorities here put earthquakes low on their disaster planning priority list. According to the most recent state disaster plan, quakes rank number 13. That's after tornadoes and lightning and something called expansive soils, whatever in the world that is.
That's because in Oklahoma, a truly devastating earthquake hasn't happened yet. San Francisco learned its lesson from the big one in 1906, and the city's been grappling with how to build for the next big one ever since. We talked to David Bonowitz, a structural engineer and a key figure in advising San Francisco on seismic design. He's taken a particular interest in Oklahoma, and last year he spoke at a conference of structural engineers at Oklahoma State.
My question, which I went to them with, was, can the things we do in California, can they apply here?
For example, David led San Francisco's effort to retrofit some of their oldest, most vulnerable brick buildings.
In San Francisco, we're being very proactive. We are recognizing that we're going to have to rebuild the city after the big earthquake. Let's do it now. And so what you may be seeing in Oklahoma now is really what's behind everyone's objections is not whether it has to be done, but who's going to pay for it.
But who has to pay and how much it will cost is a question that involves politics. In a significant move, the state's oil and gas regulators recently ordered about 90 companies to prove their wells weren't pumping waste fluid into granite rock. That's a known risk factor for triggering earthquakes. For wells that are too deep, companies must either shut down or modify their operation. And that's what you're hearing right now. I'm at a disposal well named George in Grant County. That's near the Oklahoma-Kansas border. See, this well is too deep. Workers are pouring cement down the hole, and that's going to lift the bottom of the well up about 200 feet.
But while regulators have put some restrictions in place, lawmakers are going in the opposite direction. They recently even passed a ban on municipal bans of disposal wells. That means if a city, a town, or a county wants to ban a well they think is causing problems, they can't do it.
We don't do things anti-oil and gas.
Corey Williams, a Democrat from Stillwater, is an outspoken critic of the state legislature's cozy relationship with the industry. He says to understand the amount of control the energy industry has in Oklahoma, you just have to look out of his Capitol office window.
And you can see the oil derrick that's out there. Literally used to look north out of this window, and there were hundreds upon hundreds of oil wells out there.
The Oklahoma Capitol Building is the only state house in the country built on an active oil field. Today, there are still a few of those derricks towering outside.
But the overwhelming number of earthquakes in the state is making it harder for politicians to do nothing. And Williams has found an occasional ally in Jason Murphy, a Republican from Guthrie.
As soon as an earthquake event of significant size occurs, part of the aftershock experience for me will be fielding very irate calls and emails.
Last year, Murphy and Williams held a hearing on earthquakes and disposal wells. No new legislation came of it. But Murphy welcomes the new restrictions from state regulators. He thinks they're good and they're necessary. He says they not only protect his constituents, but they also protect the state's most important industry.
The biggest threat to the energy sector would be an induced seismicity event that was damaging in terms of life, livelihood, and property. And if that does happen, it's going to be something which hangs over the energy sector for the rest of our lifetime.
Thanks to State Impact Oklahoma's Joe Wirtz and Reveal reporter Mike Corey and producer Ike Shrieskandaraja for bringing us that story. Be sure to go to our website, revealnews.org, to see an interactive map that shows just how intense Oklahoma earthquakes have grown over the years. You can also hear that earthquake music again without all the talking. We're also excited to launch our summer animation series called Postscript. Our first one about the Oklahoma quakes is on our site now. We want to know what you think, so tweet us at Reveal or find us on Facebook. Leave us a review on iTunes. It makes a big difference and helps new listeners find us. And remember, we are also on the air, so check with your local public radio station to see what time they're airing us. And if they're not, let them know you'd like to hear us. This episode was edited by Taki Talanidis, and our lead sound designer and engineer is my man, Mr. Jay Breezy, Jim Briggs. Our editorial director is Robert Saladay. Our managing director is Krista Scharfenberg. Suzanne Reber is our executive editor, and our executive producer is Kevin Sullivan. Our theme music today was from Camarado Lightning. Support for Reveal is provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation and the Ford Foundation. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. I'm Al Letson, and remember, there is always more to the story.